In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal as we edge towards the halfway stage, I suppose, of this international break. Actually, I'm getting ahead of myself there. It's only Tuesday. We're not anywhere near the halfway stage, are we? Wishful thinking, I think, for me. That's a bit sort of tired Charles speaking there. It's my son's birthday today. 8 years old. How on earth has that happened? Scary, scary stuff. But yeah, he was very excited, shall we say, about his birthday and didn't even make it past midnight before waking up. And yeah, it was a long night trying to keep him upstairs and not to come downstairs to open his presents. A very, very long night. So yeah, a bit tired today, but he's very excited anyway. And yeah, 8 years old. Unbelievable. I know it's a cliche, everyone, but appreciate all the time you get with children because my God, does it go very, very quickly. Anyway, you don't want to hear me talking about all that sort of stuff. You want to hear me talking about Arsenal. And we do have stuff to talk about today, even though we are, you know, international break, not too much going on. There is a few tidbits. We'll talk about Gabriel injury scare, if you want to call it that. Hopefully, turns out to be a good thing for Arsenal anyway. But Gabriel has pulled out the Brazil squad, so we'll talk about that, adding to what we discussed yesterday with Tom's party, Takiro Tomiyasu, withdrawing from their international squads as well. We'll look at who was training yesterday. We've got plenty of comments and questions from you guys in response to some of the stuff I spoke about yesterday. Some interesting bits there, talking about sort of transfers in the summer window, which I'll get stuck into, which is always a good talking point, especially during an international break. Bukayo Saka, Little Chili, has brought out his own Nando's sauce. The big story of the day, of course, Saka venturing into Nando's sauces with a limited edition sauce, which is quite funny. And yeah, as I said, plenty of questions and comments to talk about from you guys as well. So let's get started, shall we? And we'll start with the news about Gabriel, which was confirmed yesterday by the Brazil manager, who during his press conference revealed that he has withdrawn from Brazil's squad ahead of their upcoming games. Both of them going to be in Europe, of course. So he wasn't going to be travelling over South America. He was going to be playing at Wembley. So no real travel for him for the first game. He was going to be playing against England in that sellout game on Saturday. And then they were going to be taking on Spain. So two high-profile fixtures for Brazil, but Gabriel will not be involved. He has pulled out due to an injury. It's an unspecified injury at the moment. I've been trying to find out exactly what it is, but not been able to yet. A little bit of a mystery surrounding it, but we are told it is nothing overly serious, which is obviously a good sign, but we'll wait to see exactly what it is and whether Gabriel sort of joins in with the training during the next couple of weeks. Obviously, the game against Manchester City is beginning to loom large. So it is a slight worry that this is an injury. And it is genuine. This is an actual injury. And when you look at Gabriel, and he's just trying to nail down his starting spot with the Brazil national team at the moment, he's not going to be pulling out of any games just to do, you know, sort of his club any favours. You know, he absolutely wants to play for Brazil and to cement his place as a starting 11 as a centre-back for them. So this isn't one that he's just sort of done to try and pull the wool over Brazil's eyes. There is a genuine injury there, but hopefully it is going to be nothing serious. He's been replaced by Bremner in the squad. So we'll wait and see over the next sort of week or so how that progresses from Arsenal. If I get any sort of further update on exactly what's going on with Gabriel's injury, I will, of course, bring it to you. But he joins Takehiro Tomiyasu, who hasn't linked up with Japan. He withdrew from the Japan squad to work on his fitness back at Arsenal. Thomas Partey, which we spoke about yesterday, decided not to go away with Ghana because he wanted to continue to work on his fitness, having just come back from his long-term injury layoff. There's no Gabriel Martinelli. He's pulled out of the Brazil squad, of course, because of that ankle injury that he suffered that ruled him out of the games just preceding the international break. Gabriel Jesus didn't even go in the squad because he'd just come back. So all three Gabbies not involved from Brazil at the moment. So it's a very strong group of players back at London Colney at the moment, stronger than usual during an international break. Like I said, some of these injuries just make sense, or these decisions not to go just make sense. You look across Europe at the moment, we talked about it with some Manchester City, didn't we? With Kevin De Bruyne, he hasn't gone. Darwin Nunes, he hasn't gone to Uruguay. He's staying at Liverpool. This is just a really, really awkward international break. I think managers must absolutely hate it. Players probably must hate it as well, because there's so much going on, especially if you're involved in, you know, title races, relegation battles, something like that. The last thing you probably want in March is to, as a manager anyway, is to see your players go away. So all international breaks are frustrating, but this must be a particularly frustrating one for managers. It's just a case of crossing your fingers and hoping everyone comes back fit. But for Arsenal, certainly not as many players as usual going away. You've still got, like, with the England boys, obviously Ramsdale, Saka, Declan Rice, they've gone away. Martin Odegaard's gone away. Leandro Trossard with Belgium. So players have gone. Important players have gone. But there's still plenty of important players back at London Colney. You can tell the strength of the group who are back at the training centre by the training pictures that Arsenal put out yesterday. I mean, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see just a selection of them here. You've obviously got Gabriel Jesus training there. You've got Emil Smith-Rowe, Jurrien Timber, Reece Nelson, Takehiro Tomiyasu. Like I said, Thomas Partey's not gone. There is a real sort of strong base of players back at London Colney during these 2 weeks, which Mikel Arteta is going to really enjoy working with, especially with that massive, massive game against Manchester City looming large. And it's going to be a really important couple of weeks for Arsenal, I think. Now, there's going to be a lot of preparation done. Obviously, it's quite hard to do that preparation when certain players, as I said, Rice, Odegaard, players like that, aren't going to be back. But considering there is still a group who are there, it's going to be a really important time for Mikel Arteta. The players have all had their little bit of a break. They've had some downtime since the Champions League win, but they are back now and they are working. And yeah, it's great to see just Tomiyasu, for example, there, and Jurrien Timber, who we expect will be back, if not immediately after international break, certainly very soon after the international break, in and around the squad. Be very interesting, as I've said, if there's going to be any sort of behind closed doors friendly over the next week or so, or under 21s games that Timber is involved in, as Arsenal really start to embed him back. But he's been in and around the squad for a long, long time now, training in full training with the squad for a long, long time now. So barring any setbacks, you know, everything goes well, then it's not going to be too long before Mikel Arteta can call on him as well. All right, moving on to the big story of the day. If you're watching on YouTube, look at that. Bukayo Saka, is there anything that boy can't do right now? He's got his own limited edition Nando's sauce, the Peri Peri Saka sauce. What a brilliant story this is. It did make me laugh when I saw it today. So I'll just read you how it's described. It's a limited edition Nando's Peri Peri sauce that is sweet, spicy, and smoky. Bukayo Saka said, "The sauce mixes sweet, spiciness and smokiness. I love it and I can't wait for everyone to try it. I've been going to Nando's since I was little, so I had to have my own peri peri sauce in every restaurant in the country is quite mad. My family's really important to me, so I wanted to make sure they liked it too. And as soon as my dad said he was a fan, I knew it was the one." So yeah, looking forward to trying this one. Saka looking very, very happy with himself in that picture. And there's certainly plenty of Nando's fans out there. I know there is. So I think there's plenty of people going to be heading to the restaurants and trying out the new Peri Peri Saka sauce. Do let me know what it's like. I'm not the biggest Nando's fan, I've got to admit. I don't go there too often. Took my boy there recently because I thought he would like it, and he found the spicy rice too spicy, so he drags me off to other restaurants now when I'm out and about in town and he wants something to eat. So can't imagine I'm going to be in Nando's very anytime soon, so let me know what it is like.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Right, moving on to some questions and comments now. Some interesting ones I thought to discuss in today's show, as there's no sort of real, you know, massive Arsenal news breaking all the time at the moment during this international break. There's a good opportunity to sort of cast our minds forward to maybe the transfer window, have some transfer debate. We spoke about it yesterday when I was talking about Pedro Neto and how his latest hamstring injury has begun to sort of turn me off the idea for the first time, really, of signing Neto in the summer. He's a player I really, really like, and I think he's perfect for Arsenal, but the injuries are a bit of a concern, and this latest one has certainly worried me a little bit. Carlo here has got in touch and says, "Hi, Charles. Now you started to sway away from the idea of Arsenal possibly signing Neto because of his injury history. Who is on your summer wish list? Isak, Zubimendi, Elise, Raya on permanent deal, and a backup keeper to replace Ramsdale? Also, do you think Arteta is fully convinced Raya is the long-term number one target, or would he look elsewhere in the summer?" Just on that, no, I think he's absolutely convinced that Raya is the new long-term number one. That is a deal that will be turned permanent in the summer, providing Raya doesn't pick up a serious knee injury or something like that, you know, breaks his leg between now and the end of the season, which obviously, touch wood, that won't happen. But yeah, unless there's something mad like an injury happens, then Arsenal will sign David Raya in the summer. That's something that is going to happen for £27 million. In terms of my transfer wish list, I mean, this is really, really difficult. My choice for a striker is Alexander Isak from Newcastle. I just think he's perfect. I think when I look at this Arsenal team and I look at how Isak plays, I look at how Arsenal plays, I just think it fits. He can play on the left. He can play as a central striker. He's got really, really good work ethic. Technically, he's very, very good. He can finish. I just think he's perfect. I really, really do. When I look at a player who can sort of compete, combine with Gabriel Jesus as that number nine and offer something just a little bit different for Arsenal, I just think he's perfect for it. So he would be my choice as the striking option. In terms of the midfielder, that was hard. Look, I like Zubimendi. When I watch him play, the bits and pieces I've seen of him, I think he looks like an Arsenal and an Arteta type player. I haven't seen loads of him, but what I have seen, I think he looks really talented, and I know that Mikel Arteta likes him and Arsenal like him, and I do trust Arsenal when it comes to their talent ID, and so I think that would probably be a good fit, so I wouldn't be against that. I haven't seen him loads to be able to say I definitely would want Zubimendi. Frankie de Jong, I think, again, is a player who is a really, really talented player who I think would fit Arsenal very, very well from watching him as well. Amadou Onana at Everton, whenever I've watched Onana play in the flesh, watched him in person, I just think he's looked great. You know, I can't get my mind away from the 1-0 win for Everton against Arsenal last season when I watched Onana for the first time in person, and he just dominated the midfield. He was fantastic. He was box to box. I think he's got the ability to play in a couple of different positions in midfield. So if Arsenal do make their move for him, again, I think that'd be a really smart piece of business. So there isn't any one player I would say definitely is on the top of my midfield wish list. Like, I know who I want as a striker, and that's Isak. I don't know for sure in terms of midfield. And I also find it quite interesting in terms of what is the long-term plan for Declan Rice, because it's not so long ago I would say he's definitely the long-term plan is to be Arsenal's number six. But I do wonder with his performances playing in that number eight role, if that might change a little bit. And if that does change a little bit, do you need to concentrate on number six, or is Declan Rice going to definitely play as a six? And then do you need to kind of look at that left eight role, where, as well as Havertz is playing now as a forward, he hasn't really done convinced in that left eight role. So do Arsenal need another left eight? And then I'd look at someone like a Lucas Paqueta at West Ham, who I love. Paqueta, I think he's a fantastic player, and I think he'd be perfect for Arsenal, but I wouldn't think West Ham would be willing to do any business there. So there's a lots of I'm in an R in for me, basically, when it comes to midfield in my wish list, who I would want Arsenal to sign. The winger is an interesting one. I do, you know, I would still have Neto on there. I'm not saying definitely wouldn't sign Neto, but I do think there is certainly enough to be very concerned about investing that sort of money on Neto with his injury record. Elise, again, is a player I love, but it's hard to talk about Neto's injury record and then not mention Elise's injury record, which isn't good either. He tends to come in, play really well, pick up an injury, go out for a few weeks and then come back and it's sort of repeat over and over again. So he would kind of fall into the same category as Neto in a way. Nico Williams at Atletico Madrid, the times I've watched him, Atletico Bilbao, before everyone messages and complains about that. When I've watched him play, I think he's great. I think he's really, really talented. I think he seems to fit the bill for an Arsenal-type player as well. Young, perfect age for Arsenal. You know, he's certainly someone who, if Arsenal do follow up their interest in him and do look to trigger that release clause, which is quite an attractive release clause, you know, I think that'd be a smart piece of business. So, again, there's just no one really, an out-and-out person who I would say for certain that's who I want as a winger. Bakayoko at PSV, again, looks like a really talented young player, Belgium international. Saw him play against Arsenal this season, played really, really well. His assist record's fantastic. His goals record's decent this season. He's having a great season for PSV. He's another one that I wouldn't be against signing, that sort of young up-and-coming talent to compete with Bukayo Saka on that right-hand side. So, yeah, there's plenty of them. In terms of the goalkeeper, number two, the person who mentioned the other day the idea of bringing Szczesny back, if Szczesny was up for that, and I don't know if he's going to retire after the Euros from Poland from international duty, and if he does that, would he be willing to come and sort of battle it out as number two to David Raya back at Arsenal? No, I think that's the kind of goalkeeper Arsenal need to target when they sell Aaron Ramsdale in the summer, is more of an experienced-type goalkeeper who's going to be more than, you know, he's just going to be happy to be number two rather than be in the sort of similar situation we are this season. So I think Szczesny's a really interesting one if he'd be willing to do that. But sorry, I can't give you a definitive answer on that. I have on one striker, definitely Alexander Isak at the top of the list for me. But then everyone else, there's just too many names in there, but I've given quite a few of them. You guys have got in touch in terms of this debate as well. Sealord and Aaron here, but there were plenty others who got in touch. If you want to go and read everyone's comments, please do so. Go down to yesterday's video and read the comments because loads of you have come up with ideas. Sealord says, alternative winger targets to Neto. I agree with the shouts for Nico Williams and Xavi Simons. In your comments, Simons is a really interesting one. I do think that PSG want to keep him though. He's obviously doing very, very well on loan at the moment in Germany, but I think the long-term plan is at PSG is to bring him back and get him into the side. So I'd be very surprised if he's on the market this summer. But just to throw a different name into the mix, Donyell Malen, very fast, but mainly a sub at Dortmund. When he plays mostly right wing, but he has played on the left. Owen, he was in our academy for a couple of years and has spoken about potentially coming back. Worth an outside shout. Aaron talks about Malen as well, says, I'm sure you've seen the news of Arsenal linked to Donyell Malen. I think he'd be a really good backup for both Saka and Martinelli. He was an Arsenal youth and he said he wanted to come back to Arsenal someday. Good form in the Bundesliga. He is willing to leave and the club has put a reasonable 40 to 50 million euro price tag. Similar style to Pedro Neto, but more strong physically and can play in the centre. How do you think about this rumour? Do you also welcome the rumours of Joshua Kimmich to Arsenal? Would be a huge statement about him, world-class right-back or midfielder, can play inverted fullback. Yeah, look, Kimmich is an interesting one. I do kind of look at Kimmich and I think I'm not sure that's an Arsenal sign-in. Not in terms of his quality and what you bring to the team, but I kind of look at what Arteta and Edu are building and I look at Kimmich now and where he is in his career and I'm not overly sure that's an Arsenal-type signing, but it'd certainly bring an awful lot of quality to the team. Maitland's an interesting one. I mean, he's talked very openly about wanting to come back to Arsenal if he does come back to the Premier League. It sounds like he definitely does want to come back to the Premier League. Dortmund might be willing to do a deal with him this summer. He's had a good season this season in Germany. Would I be against it? Not overly. He wouldn't be at the top of my list, I have to say, from what I've seen of him, but he's certainly an interesting player who can fill those positions that we've talked about that Arsenal need to fill to improve the squad. And I think as much as I like Reece Nelson, I think it would certainly be an upgrade on Reece Nelson and would make the squad stronger, which ultimately the signing when Arsenal do bring in this new winger, or if they do bring in this new winger, the idea is to bolster the squad and make it even better and rise it up a level. And I think if you sort of sell Nelson this summer and bring in someone like Malen, then I think you definitely do improve the squad. So I wouldn't be overly against it. So thank you guys for getting in touch. Pop Culture Chick says, how do Charles, great shows, always shame about Neto as he is more mustard than his team's kit. Such a player, but only worth risking if he runs his contract down and can bag it on a cheaper fee when there's a year left on it. My choice for a winger is Rafael Leão. Can play either wing, anywhere across the middle and even up top. Such a powerhouse when running with the ball. Under Arteta, would become a world beater. He is the one to go after. Nostradamus 86 is on the right wing signing. I'd love to see Elise this time as he was on trials with us 15 years ago. Matthias Sewell would be a class signing if Juventus asked for no more than 35, but bringing back another player to the club would be an incredible addition. I can never pronounce his first name, Eze, as he spent a number of seasons with us as a youngster. He is now an absolute gem of a footballer. Yeah, look, Eze's fantastic as well. What a talent. I just think Eze would be so expensive. And I'm not... It's hard because in one way, I want the squad to be as good as possible. But I think you've also got to look at what Arsenal are going to be doing this summer in terms of the winger. And I don't really see him coming in and being a first-team player. I think when you've got Martinelli and Saka, I think it's very hard to convince someone like a Leão, for example, or an Eze that Arsenal's the move for them. And Leão would be so expensive from Milan as well. I just don't see that happening at all. As good as he is, and I think he is fantastic, I just don't see Leão happening. And I think it'd be very hard to convince someone like those type of players when they've already got Martinelli and Saka ahead of them coming to the club. So I'm not sure about that. Someone like Daniel Malen, as we're talking, it kind of makes more sense when you're coming and bringing them in almost more as a backup and support for those two type wingers. But thank you very much for getting in touch there. Powell says, hi, Charles. Do you think Arteta will try Partey at right back again anytime soon? My sense is he has found his inverted right back option in Benny Blanco, so will prefer using Partey in his typical six or eight position for the rest of the season. Do you think this is where we'll need him the most? Thank you for cracking quality content as always. Thank you very much. I hope not is my answer to that. It wouldn't surprise me if Arsenal need, you know, if Ben White needs a rest between now and the end of the season, and Tommy's not there and Timber's not there, then if Partey's fit, then we know it's a position that Arteta likes to use him in. So it wouldn't surprise me if we see it, but I don't think it's something we're going to see all the time. You know, I think certainly between now and the end of the season, the main aim for getting Thomas Partey fit is for him to play in midfield and not in that right back option. But it is certainly an option, you know, in games. If Partey's on the bench and White gets to 60, 70 minutes, it's a chance to take White off. And that's something Arsenal haven't really been able to do this season because of injuries and lack of options. White has played more minutes than Arsenal envisaged for him this season. The hope was they weren't going to have to load Ben White anywhere near as much as they have been. And so if Partey's back and he's fit and that isn't an option, it's something we might see, but I don't think it's something we're going to see from the start like we did at the start of the season. And just the last one before I round this off, as John says here, really good Arsenal video out today, how to plan a match day with Mehmet Ali. It's worth watching, says John. And that is absolutely 100% correct. I watched it this morning, actually. If you haven't seen it yet, go over. Arsenal posted it yesterday. It's a really good sort of 25-minute doc with Mehmet Ali, the under-21s coach, around the Exeter game and the EFL trophy and just how he plans for the match day and how it all works with the under-21s. It's a really decent little bit of a content to fill up your day if you've got a sort of spare 25 minutes, half an hour to give it a watch. It is well worth your time, as John quite rightly points out. All right, that's it from me, everyone. Thank you very much for your time. As always, really do appreciate it. I'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again. Anything you want me to discuss in tomorrow's show, then you know what to do in the comments below. Leave your questions, leave your opinions, leave your comments. Try and include some of them in tomorrow's show and discuss what you have spoken about. Until then, have a great day, everyone. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.